Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I am so glad that you joined me on today, and I pray that you will be tremendously blessed by another one of the lessons, that it will be just a tremendous blessing unto your soul. We're going to be speaking about a praying and a praising church. I tell you, child of God, you don't want to miss this wonderful lesson. It's going to be a tremendous blessing unto you as we talk about a praying and a praising church. I tell you, it was just this week the Lord spoke to my heart to share with the people of God that it was time to pray as never before, and not only to pray and to fast and pray. And one of the greatest things that the child of God has is the ability to praise and worship our God and be able to communicate with him. I tell you, child of God, you're going to be tremendously blessed. So grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. You're going to be tremendously blessed here at Helen Orr Ministry of Empowerment. And so let us take this moment to pray, and we're going to get right into our lesson on today. Grab you some pen and a paper so you can take you some notes, because I know this is going to impact your life on today. Father, we come right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, thanking you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank God that you are who you are and that we can come boldly unto your throne. Father, we ask that you bless each and every one of our listeners on today. And those, oh God, that will listen at another time, that you would just bless them, give them a spirit of prayer, let them be given over to prayer and praising and worshiping your holy and wonderful name. And God, we praise your name and give you the glory and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. We take this time to bind the forces of darkness that would impede upon the airways of your word being penetrated and going into the hearts and minds of your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Have precourse and preeminence, and we'll praise your blessed name. Amen. So it is over in the book of Acts, chapter number 4, verse 23 through verse number 31, what we'll be looking at on today. And then we're going to look at verse 46 through verse 47. And it reads on this line, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elder had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever their hand, thy hand and thy counsel determined before thee to do. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. And so let's look at verse number 46 and verse 47 as well. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, we're going to take a glimpse on today of what the early church did as they kneeled and prayed and praised God and stood central in their daily life, as an ongoing lifestyle, praying and calling on the name of the Lord our God. Father God, I tell you, you're going to be blessed. Call somebody and encourage them to come on to the show. And so let's take a look at this lesson while you'd be tremendously blessed here. It says, when God created man, God gave him the physical capacity to communicate his desires and emotions also to others, including his heavenly Father. We are called, and we call it prayer, when humans exercise their capacity for communicating with God. God desires to fellowship with mankind, and prayer is the avenue through which he can conduct fellowship. Now, the absence of sin before the fall in the garden provided mankind with access to God and to the means to enjoy sweet fellowship with him. After sin entered the human race, however, communication and fellowship between God and man was blocked. Only through animal worship were mankind able to achieve temporary release from their sin and reopen the doors of communication with God through prayer. Now, the history of prayer is as old as mankind. In the book of Genesis, the patriarch expressed himself to God through this venue. Prayer is universal in its scope and is still applicable in our modern age. If we desire to approach God, prayer is the only way to create a communication bridge between the finite and the infinite. Now, the disciples who followed the man Christ Jesus observed the practice of prayer in his life and recognized its paramount importance. They requested, Lord, teach us to pray. You'll find that over in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. They witnessed miracle daily, and the anointing and the power of Christ's word were made them realize the effect of prayer. 11 of those men later became the apostles of the church, and they continued the practice of prayer Jesus had taught them by word and example. Now, the place of prayer was prominent in the early church, and still it is vital to the church today. The Apostle Paul gave many references and exhortation to prayer in his epistles to remind the believers of its significance. Believers have never exhausted the power of prayer because the resources of God is vast and unlimited. Prayer is not an untired theory or scheme concocted by the whims of man. It is a divine assignment that is set forth by God as a means to communicate with mankind and to build a spiritual him up spiritually. God, in his infinite and omnipresent, which he is, prayer can always reach him, and he can do anything necessary to meet our needs. As children of our Heavenly Father, we can approach him confidently with our petition and needs. The early church praised God in good times and during times of intense persecution. They exalted Jesus in worship through every circumstances, even when they were stoned and beaten and imprisoned. They did not consider their surroundings or conditions as barometers to measure the level of their praise and worship. Now, the church today may face different circumstances in life, but we must not allow the cares of life, the affluence and the profit, the level of our praise and worship to God. Now, let's look at how prayer affected the early church. Now, we observe several ways in which prayer guided and strengthened and empowered the early church, and each of them find practical application in their lives of the believers. Let's take a look at prayer's possibility. Number one, open doors of utterance. Through prayer, we petition help from God to open doors, opportunity to spread the gospel. We are involved in spiritual battle for our souls of mankind. We do not live in fear, but neither are we ignorant of the enemy's devices that would hinder our progress in evangelizing the world. Jesus overcame the temptation and struggle of this life so that we can take heart through him. We can also be victorious. You'll see John 16, verses 33, 1 John 4 and 4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. It's over in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. There have been cities and countries that have resisted the gospel, but when believers interceded in prayer, the doors of opportunities opened so that the missionaries were able to evangelize the lost. Sometimes opposition comes from civil authorities, other religious groups, or individual control by satanic powers. However, the scripture assures us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Intercessory prayer is like a battering ram that breaks down and break open gates of opportunities so that we may enter with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. It is possible that the lack of intercession sometimes has allowed closed doors to remain closed, preventing us from reaching some areas with the message of truth. Now let's look at number two, the facilitate the preaching of God's word. Paul was confident of the power of prayer when he requested, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have precourse and be glorified even as it is with you." Also, he said, over in second, you'll find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse 1 and 2. He emphasized that he needed freedom to preach without hindrance, and he needed deliverance from certain wicked and unreasonable men. Consequently, he asked for their prayers. When we preach the gospel, the hearers often measure and compare what they are hearing with the biased opinion and tradition that they have held for many years. Traditions are difficult to ignore, and family pressures often add to confusion. Intercessory prayer can empower the speaker with anointing, directing him to say the correct word that will connect with the hearers and touch the heart. God can guide us to witness effectively and preach his word. Further, it produced spiritual fruit. Intercessory is essential to bring forth fruit and a spiritual harvest. Fruit is the product of sowing of the seed and nurturing it until harvest time. The word of God is incorruptible, is the incorruptible seed, which is planted in the soils of an individual heart through preaching and witnessing. However, it's inadequate only to sow the seed of God's word. We must water and plant the planted seed of God's word with prayer. Psalms 126 and 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves and with him." Now, the new birth of a believer happens quickly, but the making of a mature Christian is a lifetime task. When established believers intercede in prayer for those who are less established, whatever their particular stage of progress, the church will bear fruit through the spiritual growth of all who are involved. Teaching is vital to plant truth in the fertile ground of an individual heart, but prayer is essential to produce the fruit of an overcoming, victorious believer. Prayer helps believers to overcome their carnal nature and the work of the flesh. To produce and bear fruit of the Spirit requires a dedicated, committed life, an individual allowing God to reign in their mortal body. It is impossible for a carnal-minded individual to bear spiritual fruit. Prayer will empower one to conquer his fleshly tendencies, which are contrary to the mind of Christ. Number four, prayer brings about miracle. Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, and the lame man asked them of alms as they walked by. They had been with Jesus during his earthly ministry and witnessed many miracles of healing. Filled with faith and strengthened by their personal communion with God in prayer, they did not hesitate to challenge them before them. They offered the lame man something better than money, and God healed them instantly. Now, Acts chapter 3, verses 4 through 7 said, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the hand, right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." The good news, the news of this awesome miracle spread rapidly, and God received glory and praise for what he had taken place. Moreover, it spanned faith in many needy people throughout the land, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street and laid them on the bed and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Persecution intensified, and the authority killed James with the sword. When Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he also imprisoned Peter. However, he failed to consider the power of the unified intercessory prayer. The believers were praying continually over the persecution the early church was experiencing. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter's life was in jeopardy, and the church band together to pray for him. Numerous passages in the scripture cite the power of unity in prayer. The people were motivated by a burden for their leaders of the early apostolic church. Clearly, many were in prayer for him when the angel delivered Peter, awakening him from sleep and causing his chains to fall off. Because of prayer, he was set free by the power of God. Numerous miracles still happen today when the church unify in prayer. Many believers can testify of the deliverance that came during these times of crisis. The power of God has not diminished, and he's still ready to do the miraculous when we pray earnestly. The disciples witnessed a demonic-possessed man who was brought to Jesus. After Jesus delivered the individual from the spirit that tormented him, the disciple asked Jesus why they was unable to cast out the evil spirit. He reminded them that this comes only through prayer and fasting. Number five, prayer revealed deceptive motive. The spirit of deception tried to mimic the genuine, miraculous power of God. The musicians in Egypt duplicated some of God's mighty power and work, but God exposed them as imposters. There also was instance in the scriptures in which false prophets tried to fool gullible people. In Acts 13, 8 through 12, Elymas, the sorcerer, tried to draw away an innocent deputy from the faith, but Paul exposed him, and God smote him with blindness. Ultimately, the deputy believed and was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Prayer is a discerner of evil spirits, and through a relationship with the Lord, believers can expose the enemy and bring glory to God. There are spirits of deception at work even today to beguile innocent souls. Some will even try to do miracles and mimic the real power of God, but a genuine spirit always aligns with the word of God. The scripture admonishes us to try the spirit and not to be deceived by the winds of false doctrine or claims of miraculous by those whose lives are ungodly. Now let's look further at the prayer place. Centrally in the early church, the made prayer a priority because they understood the magnitude of their responsibility and knew they needed divine assistance to fulfill the Great Commission. The church is not a man-made association or a social club. It's the ecclesia, the called out ones, the body of believers who have been born again of water and of spirit. The church is the body of Christ on earth, commissioned to evangelize the world and carry out the command and the direct. This is a monumental task and calling for which we need divine strength. John 15:5 said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, the early believers received strong opposition from the Jews, the Roman Empire, and the devil. To overcome these obstacles required the constant renewing of the power of the Holy Ghost, which is possible only through prayer. Prayer was central in the early church, and they continued to make it a priority. Now, it was also prayer was central in Paul's ministry. Paul, formerly called Saul of Tarsus, was a zealous believer of the law of Moses and persecuted a Christian until God struck him down on the way to Damascus. And when God spoke to him, Ananias, to go and to pray for Saul, the reluctant disciple obeyed because the Lord assured him that Saul was a changed man. And it was said of him, behold, he prayed. You'll see that Acts 9:11. Saul became known as Paul, and he went on to become a great missionary and writer of the New Testament, pride an integral part both of his life and his teaching. I made mention of you always in prayer. You'll find that up in Romans 1:9. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, Romans 8:26. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God, Philippians 4:6. Continue in prayer, Colossians 4:2. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Now, prayer's power, let's take a look at the power of prayer. You'll find that over in James 5:16. He said, confess your fault one with another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Let's take a look at that. Prayer can go anywhere God goes. Since God is omnipresent, our prayer also encompasses the vast domain. It is encouraging to know that we can pray in one location and our prayers are ministered, answered in the same distant space. The word whatsoever or anything cover enormous area that is boundless and all-inclusive. David asked, whither shall I go from the Spirit, or whither shall I flee from the presence? Psalms 139:7. Clearly, the ideal of his rhetorical question points out that it is impossible to escape the omnipresent Spirit of the Almighty God. God is omnipotent, which means power is without bounds. No walls or barriers can restrict his entrance or limit his power. Prayer is not a small thing. It is a far-reaching, and it is effective, its effectiveness. Further, whatever we ask God in prayer, we know that he can do, for nothing is impossible with him. We often need divine intervention, and he can go wherever the need exists when we ask of him through faith-filled prayer. As believers, we would not want to go someplace because of sinful atmosphere there, but we can intercede for someone who is there. The Spirit of God will come of their sin, whatever they may be. There is no place to hide from the all-seeing eyes of God. Number two, prayer can do anything God does. Jesus said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, John 14:13. We can ask anything as long as we ask in his name, according to his will. It is imperative that we submit to his will at all times, but we can ask anything according to his will. The promises of God are exceedingly great and precious, but prayer makes his promise a reality. There is nothing impossible with God. God's promises are sure and certain, for he is faithful, that promise, Hebrews 10, verse 23. God always finishes what he starts, and he does not lie. We may have to wait for a time before receiving the promise, but it will happen in God's appointed time. Jesus admonishes believers in the scripture, have faith in God, Mark 11 and 22. Now, God put no limitation on his ability to meet our needs when we petition him. We can be confident that there is no hopeless situation or circumstance. God is omnipresent and omnipotent. His eyes are continually upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cries. Faith is necessary ingredients that we must combine with our asking to the presence, present our needs to the Lord. Doubt and unbelief will cut circuit and hinder answer prayers. God has established a possibility through prayer, through his word and promises. Further, our testimony gives witness to God's faithful performance in answering prayers in the past. We have confidence that he will continue to answer our prayers. Now, God is our Heavenly Father, and we can be certain that he is interested in meeting our daily needs. Just as earthly parents listen to their children's requests for necessary food and clothing, so the Lord is interested in supplying our earthly needs. The cares and the concerns of daily living often occupy our thoughts, but since the Lord takes care of the lilies in the field, we know that he will also take care of us. The early church moved boldly through the troubled time with confidence in God. The apostle were eyewitnesses of Jesus and believed that he had taught them. Moreover, they transmitted their faith to other believers as they preached the possibility of prayer. Let's look at prayer's purpose. Now, in the pattern of prayer commonly called the Lord's Prayer, the Lord instructs us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We'll find that over in Matthew 6 and 10, Luke 11 and 12, 11 and 2. In this prayer, Jesus revealed the purpose and aligned us with the supreme sovereign will of God. Prayer is not about reaching to receive what we desire, but reaching to receive what the Lord desires for his eternal kingdom. He certainly desired to satisfy the desires of our heart, but prayer aligns our heart with his eternal and holy will and purpose. Now, let's look a little further, and let's look at the praise and worship that took place even in the early church. Shortly after the day of Pentecost, the revival filled the city of Jerusalem, and persecution had not yet reared its ugly head, and the believers had favor with the people. During these precious times, the disciples continued to praise and worship God. They praised God in the temple, and they praised him when they were met in the home from the time of fellowship. Revival with praise and prayer brought revolutionary change throughout the city. The sound of pious Pharisee praying on street corners contrasts significantly the enthusiastic and sincere praise and prayers of the new believers. We observe that it greatly impacted the city of Jerusalem through the growing desire among the people to receive the new birth experience. The church was growing in numbers daily. The sound of praise and worship with resounding cymbals, symphony on the earth and also in heaven, where there is joy when sinners repent of their sin. Now, let's look at praise in persecution. Now, the sound of praise and worship continue even in the face of persecution. Inward joy and peace are not dependent on an outward circumstances. They reflect the condition of the heart. Even while being imprisoned, beaten, and were martyrs, the early believers were triumphant and victorious. While the Jewish leaders vented their hatred and abuse, and their radiant face and forgiving spirit of the believers after they've been mistreated and even killed, brought praise and worship to the server, Savior. Now, Paul and Silas was beaten and placed in stocks and chains. Instead of bemoaning their lucrative back and chapped wrists and ankles, they sang praise in midnight hours. Instead of having a pity party, praise and worship ascended to glory, and God sent an earthquake to the prison's house and salvation to the jailer. In part of the world today, Christian believers are being persecuted for their faith, and godless regimes are persecuting them. But their praise and worship for Jesus Christ continue to ascend to glory, and victory in Jesus is their anthem. Now, in our conclusion today, the leaders of the early church were eyewitnesses of Jesus and had seen impact of the prayer in their lives. They were, amen, God manifested. He was God manifested in the flesh, Jesus, and still he prayed and left a wonderful example for the disciple. They had seen him pray in the night hours, and before dawn, they were moved by what they witnessed. When the Lord poured out this Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the pattern of prayer continued in the young church. They saw the effects of prayer on Jerusalem as the city was enjoying revival. The dead, boring revival rituals of the Pharisee contrasted the exploding, vibrant power of God evident in prayer and of the believers. They have witnessed the possibility of prayer and teaching in the life of Jesus Christ. Further, they saw the effect of it in their own personal experience with signs and wonder throughout the city. The Spirit of God opened doors of utterance and opportunities arose. Prayer impacted their preaching and witnessing and produced a harvest of spiritual fruit. They glorified God as miracles and healing occurred and the church continued to grow. As persecution intensified, the witness of the power of prayer with Peter was delivered from prison. And when Saul of Tarsus was converted, the place of prayer was prominent in the church. And the disciples gave it priority as they recognized the essentiality of the relationship with God through prayer. They continued to pray regularly as they recognized it was their source of power and contrast in contact with God. They realized that he was divine and they were the branches, and without him, they could accomplish nothing. But prayer kept them in touch with God, and they became conduits of the Lord's work. Prayer can go anywhere that God goes and do anything that God does. The enemy trembles when a child of God bends their knees in prayer. Prayer brings the Almighty into our lives in a personal way as we open our hearts to him. The purpose of prayer is to align our will with God's eternal will and purpose. The early church prayed to Jesus Christ both in good times and during the hours of severe persecution and martyrdom. Many believers have given their lives for the cause of the gospel, but they alone with us will form a victorious throne at the feet of the Savior. Tell you, child of God, that we must continue in prayer, amen, and thanksgiving with all, also praying also for us that God will continue to open doors of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which we are bound, that we may manifest it as we ought to. And so let's continue as the early church to pray. And I believe that this is a call to the church of God back to prayer, as he placed so diligently in my heart at the beginning of this week. He said, Helen, tell my people to come back to the altars of prayer and pray as never before. If you want to see change, if you want to see the power of God move, if you want to see family members saved, if you want to see lives of your family members healed, I encourage you to start praying again and believing God that he will do it on your behalf. Oh, my God, I feel, Father, we come right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We feel your spirit and your presence right now. And Father, we, Lord, be the first fruit of this lesson today by, Lord, leading your prayer and calling on your name. Father, we know that there's nothing too hard for you, God, and you got all power in your hand, God, and you can do all things but fail. God, we come and lift up the radio audience on today, every need, God, whatever it may be, sicknesses or disease, God, family matters, God, financial issue, God, even the uncertainty or the loss of loved ones. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare and decree, Father, that your healing virtue will be released, your peace, God, that you will shift and change things on behalf of your people, God, in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, God. We believe you, Lord, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask. We ask to think, God, according to the power that worketh within us, God. And God, we choose to trust you and put our confidence and faith in your ability and in your power, in your omnipotent power, God, because your omnipresence, God, unsaved loved ones, Lord, will be saved and their hearts turned around and turned back to you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we thank you, and we give you the praise, glory, and honor, in the mighty name of Jesus, and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, God. We declare your will be done and your kingdom to come, Lord, on behalf of your people. Now, Father, we ask that you stir up prayer down in the hearts and mind of your people. Stir up their hearts to go back to the altar, to go back to the place of prayer as never before, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you will meet us there, God. You will hear and answer our prayer, God, because you said in your word, Lord, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. And then you said, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Oh, God, let your people turn their heart back to you, Lord, as never before. And we'll give you the praise, glory, and honor. Raise up, Lord, committed men and women of prayer, Lord, as never before. Let us be bound to your will and your word in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you. And God, we praise you. And God, we give you glory, because you are the righteous Savior, Lord, and the Holy One of Israel, God. And we give you praise to the glory of our Father, and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, amen and amen. My God, I pray that this lesson has blessed you on session at your church as never before, and give yourself and your voice and your faith over to God and watch God move on your behalf as never before. He's calling his people that are called by his name to humble themselves and pray and seek his face. Watch him do it. Until we meet again, child of God, even as the early church did, let us demonstrate our faith in the vehicle of praise and worship that God so graciously given unto us through his Son as being the perfect example of a man of prayer and miracles and wonders. And so till we meet again, I pray that this has been a blessing unto you. Call somebody, invite somebody, amen, to come and join us on at home every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can listen and archive any of the lessons, amen, the sessions, the interviews, the various things that God has allowed us to do on this wonderful session or this vehicle or the Blog Talk Radio. It goes all the way back to 2007. You will find something that can bless you. You can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/home, H-O-M-E, Home Talk Radio, and watch God bless you in a mighty special way. God bless you, or just blog in my name amen, and it will bring up in your engine, amen, it will bring you to the Blog Talk, and then you can archive and listen to any of these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sessions, the various types of sessions that we have for you, interviews, teaching, preaching, prayer, is all found there at Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. And so until we meet again, God bless you. I will see you next Tuesday. God bless you.